like to welcome one out this morning to the house of God. And I know that you was expecting Daniel to preach this morning, but he's under the weather. And so maybe all the visitors, if you'll come back next week, you'll get to hear some good preaching. You know, this is the first time I ever stood behind one of these that you can see my knees shake a little bit. So I'll try to keep my knees from shaking a little bit. But nevertheless, you know, I enjoyed the song, How Great Is Our God. You know, I'm serving a great and powerful God, an almighty God, because I tell you, he took a little lad like me a long time ago, and he saved my soul that was lost. I was headed to a place called hell, but he came into my heart, my life, and he changed my life. And I tell you, that's how great our God is. And I love that song that we sung this morning, Victory in Jesus. You know, there's people that are here this morning that may be struggling, that has problems in their heart and their life. But I'm telling you today, don't look at the way I preach this morning. Don't look at me and how what I look like, the words that I use, or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you this morning that you can have victory before you leave this place here this morning. You can have victory in the one called Jesus Christ. He's God Almighty, and he'll give you that power. And so we're going to go ahead and get into the message that God has laid upon our heart. And we want to look over in Nehemiah chapter 1. We'll be bringing the message out of chapter 4 this morning about rebuilding the walls. You know, we can look in this community, we can look at our land today, and we can just see how that the devil has destroyed a lot of things that we have. We can see that prayer has been taken out of schools. We can find that the walls have been literally just torn down, that God had sent great men of God in, and how that many a time we've had prayer and how the Word of God has been in schools and things like that. But look at the United States of America and how that we're turning our hearts and our back against God and how that sin is on the rise today. But I believe that it's time here this morning that we as God's people begin to rebuild the walls, and we can rebuild prayer, we can rebuild the Word of God, we can rebuild these things today. But it takes you and I working together as men of God and women of God, and we can see things begin to move. But as we look here in over Nehemiah chapter 1, and let's look in verse 3 and verse 4. Here it says, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of captivity in the providence are the great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass that when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned in certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Shall we pray? Father, as we approach the throne of God here this morning, we pray that you just help us to get self out of the way, and that we would be obedient here this morning and just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Father, if there's one here that has problems in their heart and their life, Lord, we pray that before they leave here this morning, that they'll just turn everything over to you at the foot of the cross. Lord, thank you for Brother Daniel. We know that he's a great man of God. We thank you for sending him in this way. And we pray that you'll just nurse him back to health. And Lord, that you'll just be with him. And Lord, just give him the strength to be able to be back with the church. And Lord, that we can see great things begin to happen in this community and in this church. And Father, we'll just be careful to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But as we begin to look at Nehemiah here, he had been in the captivity, and we find that there it said that he was a cupbearer of the king. And we can find that Jerusalem, how that they had been in the captivity for 70 years. They had been taken from their homeland. It had been destroyed. And we can find that there was three groups of people that had returned back here to Jerusalem. And we find that Nehemiah was the third expedition that went back to the homeland. And we can begin to look at the work that he began to do as he began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And that's what we're going to look at here this morning. But I want you to notice that he was over 750 miles away from home. But what happened to this man called Nehemiah? We find that he began to ask a question to the people that had came back. And he began to say, "What about my homeland? What about Jerusalem? How does it fare?" And we can find that they began to tell him that it had been destroyed and it still lays in ruins. and it broke this man's heart. Notice what it said. And it came to pass that when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned in certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And so as I began to look at this, he began to cry out. He was a man that had a vision. And we find that here that his heart began to be burdened for his homeland over 750 miles away. I think that you and I need to be like Nehemiah here today in this community and in this state of Cleveland in McMinn County in Tennessee. As we begin to look here, we find that here that Nehemiah, what did he do? He began to weep. And I believe that he began to get down on his knees and he began to pray to God. And he said, God, I have a burden for my homeland. And he began to shed those tears. And we don't need to be afraid here to shed tears for the Lord here this morning. He's a great and almighty God. He can do great things here this morning, but we have to put our trust and faith in him. So Nehemiah began to have a burden, and you can see that God always has a man. God always calls a person to go and do his job. You know, God could come down, and he could perform many miracles, but what does he do here in this church? He chooses to use people to get his work done here this morning. So he chooses you and I. And so he had a man chosen. And Nehemiah was this chosen one to come and to do the job that God had prepared for him. And he began to cry out. But as we continue to move on, you continue to pray as we look into this sermon here this morning over in Nehemiah chapter 2. And then let's look in verse 13. As I said, he was a cupbearer. He had a burden for his homeland. Here in verse 13, we find that he had already went back to Jerusalem here. And it says, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which was broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went out to the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. But let's look in verse 17. Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproached. Then I told them of the hand of the God, which was good unto me, also the king's word that has spoken unto me, and said, let us rise up and build, so they strengthen their hands for the good work. You see, it said that their hands were strengthened for the good work to come. And so you and I, we need to pray. We need to be like Nehemiah. We need to pray for strength, that our hands are ready to go and do the work that lies before us. As I said, the devil has destroyed a lot of things, even in the United States of America. But it's time that God's people humble themselves and begin to have a vision. The Bible says, without a vision, people are perishing. They're dying and going to a place such called hell. So it's you and I today that needs to be up and about our Father's business, doing what God would have us to do. But as we find that Nehemiah was a very bold man, we find that he was a cupbearer of the king, and that he had come before the king, and his countenance was very sad. And the king began to look at him and says, why are you so sad? And we begin to find that he said, I have a desire to go back to my homeland, to do some work in my homeland. You know, this could have been death for Nehemiah because you were not to go before the king with a sad countenance. He could have been put to death, but he was very bold. And I think that God is calling for us to be bold and to take a stand here this morning in this church. He's calling for you and I to be bold here this morning. Even though it might have been death for him, he says, I'll stand before the king and I'll beg for his petition to go and to Jerusalem here. And so we find that he began to go. The walls have been turned down. Notice it said that he went out at night time. You know, a lot of times, while you people that are, and even I myself as a church member, a lot of times at night time, what do? I lay my head down and I begin to go to sleep because I get very tired. I get very weary. But have you ever thought about the man of God, the pastor of this church? So many times, maybe he might get weary. He might be tired. But in the night time and in the wee hours of the night, I believe that he is there studying the Word of God. He's there praying for the people in this community. His heart has been broken. And while maybe a lot of us asleep, the man of God is there on his knees praying and asking God for leadership. And that's why that we need to be with him. You know, Nehemiah had went out and he began to look over the site. It was very sad to see the walls burnt down, that the people was not doing nothing to get the job done. They were just sitting around waiting. But Nehemiah said, I'll go. But you know, the workers that were together, you study the book of Nehemiah. It wasn't just Nehemiah and those that were skilled laborers and those that could use a power saw, those that could measure and all of that. It said that the priest went. It said that they were family members. The women went and they began to work on this wall that was being destroyed, that they had been led them into captivity and how that had been burnt down. The gates had been burnt and destroyed. But as I begin to look here, we find that, you know, as Daniel has been sent to this church to be a worker, you know, he's not asking, as we look here, he's not a one-man ministry. Nehemiah didn't go there to complete the job by himself. It wasn't just a one-man ministry. It was everybody working together. Daniel doesn't say here behind this sacred desk and say, I want you, everybody in here, to work for me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that I want you, at the church members of this church, he's saying, I want you to work with me to help me to rebuild the walls that maybe Satan had destroyed. He's saying, let's come together in unity, in one mind, in one accord, and let's do the work that God has called us to do. And so as I begin to look here, we'll be looking at the building of the wall here in just a moment. But you see, he had a great desire to go and work. And I tell you, that's my heart's desire when we join this church. I tell you, I've seen a great vision. I have a vision just like the pastor has a vision. Every one of us should have a vision to go out into this community. What is a soul worth? I tell you, we need to go to the community, not only in this community, but outside the community. We need to witness to people. We need to work and rebuild the walls because these people had a mind to work. I tell you, there was something great. It said that they had a mind to work, to do this good work. And I tell you, there's a great work that needs to be done here. And I tell you, this is a loving church. I love everybody here. And then these people here in this church, I realize that they're hard workers. I've seen the job that people does, and I tell you, it just excites me. That's why that I want to be a part and a member of this family. And then as we begin to look at the rebuilding of the walls, we find that a great miracle took place. In 52 days, these walls was completed. God can do a great miracle here at this church. We can see great things happen if we'll just follow the leadership. Now let's look over in Nehemiah chapter 4. And we can look at obstacles that they had to face in the rebuilding of the walls. But as we look here in Nehemiah chapter 4, and as we begin to look here in verses 1 through 6, we find that they passed opposition of ridicule. There was a lot of problems that tried to stop them, but yet they completed this task in 52 days. And I can tell you here this morning, it doesn't matter what Satan throws at us here this morning, we've got victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We got victory in God this morning, and I can have that victory. I claim that victory, and I claim the power. But as we find here, there was opposition as they began to rebuild the walls here in verses 1 through 6. But it came to pass that when Sanballat had heard that we build the wall, he was wroth. He was angry and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before the brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves, will they sacrifice, will they make an end of a day, will they revive the stones out of heaps of rubbish which are burned? And now Tobiah the Ammonite was said by him, and he said, even those which were built, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turned reproach upon their own head, and give unto them a prey of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee. And they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together, and the half thereof for the people Had what? Had a mind to work. And so as I begin to look at the ridicule, we find that Nehemiah had gathered the people together. He said, it's time to go to work. You know, we've lied in these rooms. We've seen all of this. But now it's time that we begin to work. And so the first thing the devil will try to do, you know, he sent a great man of God to be the shepherd of this church. And he sent a great man that says it's time to rebuild the walls here in this community. It's time to rebuild, and it's time to get to work. And so all of us have come together because we've got a mind to work. But the first thing the devil's going to try to do is to stop and hinder the work and ridicule us. How many times have you went on the job and you tried to witness to someone and then somebody began to make fun of you? You know, I've been many a time on my job. I've worked and there was other different denominations that came and they tried to put me down. They said, you're a preacher and, you know, and they made fun of the stand that I take on the Word of God. But it doesn't matter. Let them laugh. Because I tell you, I'm serving a God Almighty. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. And so as I begin to look here, the ridicule, and they begin to make fun of the people, said, you're just feeble Jews. You're not able to get out and do this kind of work. Why are you letting Nehemiah be the leader of you? There's nothing that you can do. You cannot go ahead and rebuild these walls. You're just feeble Jews. And then he made fun of their religion and said, it's going to take more than God to be able to help you to rebuild these walls. And many a time our religion has been made fun of. We've been mocked at. We've been laughed at. I've seen TV programs about how that Christ is not real. And how I tell you, my wife, sometimes she says, you know, you just get too angry when I see these history channels talking about how that God is not real and all these things. I tell you, I get angry. And I just want to flip the channel. I don't want to watch nothing like that because I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he's the true God, but they mock and they make fun of our religion today. And that's what the devil's trying to do. If he can get us arguing and fighting about religion and different things, you know, I had went to work and these other people had come and said, you know, you believe the wrong way. And I said, as long as you and I are arguing and fussing over the scripture, there's people that are dying and going to hell. So it's time that we can put ridicule aside. And then we find that they made fun of their building. And I tell you, I don't know if you've ever seen anything that I built before. You know, it's not square and all this, that, and the other. And it might be wobbly. But, you know, they were making fun. Said even the foxes would come and they'll jump over and these walls will just come tumbling down. And so as I say today, the devil will tell you, what's the use of going out on visitation? What's the use of going to the front porch ministry? There's nobody going to come. There's nobody going to get saved and this, that, and the other. Brethren, we need to listen to the Word of God, and we need to have a desire and have a vision in our heart, and we need to continue to go on and not listen to what the devil has to say. We find that there's ridicule. We find that even Christ, he was ridiculed. But what did he do? He just prayed for those that ridiculed him. It said that they was coming and taken from the garden and how that they had taken him. And it said they beat him and they ridiculed him. And that's what Satan's job is today, is to ridicule you and think you're not worth nothing just to get you to throw down and quit. But we don't need to quit. We need to serve the Almighty God until he comes back to take us home. And so we find that it says that they ridiculed him. And even when he was there on the old rugged cross, and thereafter they plucked out his beard, put a crown of thorns upon him, and the blood began to trickle down. It said that if you be Christ, why don't you just save yourself and come down from that cross? They were making fun of him. If you really, truly the Son of God, you know why he didn't come down from that cross? Because he died for my sins. He said there was a boy named Herschel Malone that was lost and headed to a place such called hell. And he said, I come to die upon this old rugged cross for him. If he's the only one that accept me, then I'm willing to die on that cross. And I tell you, he put aside the ridicule. He even prayed for those that had abused him there. And so you see ridicule. They face problems. We're going to face problems here at this church. But I can tell you one thing. If we put God in charge, then we're not going to have to worry about that. And then we're going to continue to move on very quickly. And then we find that the second thing is in verse 7 through 9. We find that they was forced. Here, let's look here in verse 7 through 9. And you continue to pray. But it said, it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So we can find that they was forced that was there. We find that the devil, when you try to do good, we find that he's going to try to stop everything that you're doing. You know, I've been in churches today in my lifetime that when something good was going, then the devil from the outside would try to hinder the church from going forward. But they was forced there. And so we find that here that Sanballat started out with two different people, but then it ended up with great multitudes. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm telling you here this morning, it doesn't matter, all the forces of hell can gather together. But it says that upon this church, I'll build my, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So as we begin to look here, we can find that we need to build upon a sure foundation, and the force might try to come. But you know what the Bible tells us to do as Christians? When the force begins to come, it tells us that we need to pray. We need to pray without ceasing. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you'll receive it, and you shall. The Bible tells us that Peter was locked up, and how that the church began to come together and to pray. And you see, the devil tried to stop their work. But every time, Nehemiah knew the secret of success, and it was through prayer. We find it here that he began to pray. And he said, God, give us the strength. We need your help, and you alone can help us to go ahead and to rebuild these walls. And there was a great job that needed to be done. But, you know, the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. So when the force of evil begins to come around, if we'll put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and then it says above all, what do we need to do? It says above all, take that shield of faith. And you know what that shield of faith is here this morning? The Bible says that he told Abram, he says, I am that shield. And I tell you, above all, if we'll as a church take that shield of faith, you're going to see great things begin to happen in this community. You're going to see great things happen in this church. And there might be forces trying to stop you, maybe even from coming and being saved this morning. Maybe you got problems in your life. The devil will tell you, why do you need to go to that altar? Brethren, you need to come so that you can find victory in Jesus here this morning. And through him alone. And it's not through me, it's not through Daniel, and it's not through the song leader, it's not through the deacons, but it's in Christ alone that you can find deliverance here this morning. So we can find that force was not able to stop them. Why? Because they kept on praying. And then we find that something that hits you and I. I tell you, this next one hit me a whole lot when I was pastoring the church, discouragement. Let's look in verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers and the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And so as we look here in verse 10, we find that there was discouragement. There's so much rubbish around, we're just not able to continue on. So we find that here in verse 10 was discouragement. They began to get discouraged, but Nehemiah didn't listen to all this complaining. He just kept on working and kept on doing what God has called him to do. And you know, we find that Elijah, one time a great man of God, he was up on a mountaintop of Mount Carmel. We find that he faced the 450 prophets of Baal alone, but he was not alone because he had God by his side. And I tell you, he won a great victory there that day. We can find that he, through God, that the prophets of Baal was destroyed. They were defeated. But then after he had left, and after that great victory, what happened to this great man of God? And it's easy sometimes for us to get very discouraged. But we find that Elijah had found out that Jezebel was after him and said, that he went and sat under a Jupiter tree, and he just got very, very discouraged. He was just sitting there after a great victory. Many times we've had great victories in God. I've seen God work many times in my life with great victories. And I tell you, but I have sat down myself, and just like here, that Elijah said, I just wish that I could die because she's after me. She's going to kill me. I'm discouraged. But you see, discouragement will destroy us if we're not careful. There's been many a time that I went home after I worked hard at work, and I studied the Word of God late at night. There'd been times that I had to wasn't able to do things with my children like I wanted to do. You know, I love God, and I wanted to do my work. And then many a time I sat down, and I thought, why don't I just throw this Bible away? Why don't I just quit? Why don't I just quit, and I don't have to stay up late at night and study, and because I worked a public job, and I tried to pastor a church and tried to do things, and I got very discouraged, and many a time I wanted to quit. But you know, I got brought down just like Nehemiah. I was brought down to my knees, and then I began to look up, and I began to pray, God, my redemption draweth now when I look up. And when I got up from there, I didn't want to quit. And I tell you, I'm still out there on the battlefield trying to do what God would have me to do. Let's not be discouraged. We don't need to be discouraged here this morning. There's a great work that can be done. But if we get discouraged, the devil will stop the work that we're doing here this morning. And there's great things that are being done. I've been with Daniel on the Front Porch Mission. We went and sat in homes and talked to people. They have a desire to know about our God today. And how are they going to hear except that we, as people of Christ, as a member of this body, unless that we go and tell them, how are they going to know about the love of God? I tell you, there's a great work that can be done here this morning. But it's going to take us, and let's not get discouraged, because God is moving. Just like this morning, even during the singing, how the two people had came to the altar, we can see that there was a great move. And I tell you, God is still working. Let's not get discouraged, but let's continue to move for God. And they just kept on praying. Then we find in verse 11 through 13, we find that fear began to come. And then we'll be closing here in just a few moments. But let's look here in verse 11 through 13. And you continue to pray. He said, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which were dwelt by them came and said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. And therefore I set in lower places behind the walls, and the higher places even set people and their families and their swords and their spears and their bows. You see, fear began to come upon them. And for just a few moments, the work began to stop. They quit working because they had a fear. But I'm telling you, greater is he that is in me, as I said a while ago, than he that is in the world. We don't have to fear what the devil has this morning, because I'm serving a God that's already defeated Satan. I tell you, we're serving a great and almighty God. And I tell you, these people, some of the Jews, they had left work and they'd lived outside the city. And when they had returned, they brought bad news in. They're out there. They're ready to pounce upon us. They're going to destroy us. I tell you, there's great, mighty things that can be done here in this church. But let's not fear the devil this morning. And I tell you, Daniel is trying to do, he's going to lead us in the right direction. But we need to band together. And we need to start working on the walls that needs to be rebuilt. And I tell you, it's time that we have a mind to work here this morning. There was fear that came. And then we find that what happened. It says that they overcame this fear. And I want you to notice what happened in verse 17. They which build on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, and everyone with one hand wrought in the work, and the other had held a weapon. We find that it said that they began to continue their work on the wall. And it said that with one hand, they worked on that wall. And then it said in the other hand, they held a weapon. I tell you, they was prepared to do that job. They were going to complete on the building of the wall. They completed that in 52 days. What a miracle. God had called Nehemiah to come. God had called a man to come and do the job. God is still seeking. God is still calling people to come and to help. And so as we find here, that it said that they held a weapon in their hand. You know, today, you and I got a weapon, the Word of God. It says that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And if I want to defeat Satan here this morning, I can't defeat him on myself. I can't do anything because I'm weak. I'm in the flesh. I'm just human. But I tell you, when I seek the Word of God upon Satan, then we can defeat him this morning. So we've got a weapon here this morning, church. And it's not the pastor, it's not the deacons, and it's not me. But it's truly the Word of God. Will we stand and will we be willing? God is challenging you here as a church member this morning. He's saying it's time to rebuild. It's time to get the work done. And there's just little time. I believe that when you read the book of Revelations and you study it out, that God is getting ready to come and to take his church home. I've studied Revelations a lot of times, and I've read it and taught on it and done a book of Daniel, book of prophecy, and all of this. But I know that God is getting ready to come back. But when he comes back, and I stand before him to be judged, I'm not going to stand here at Big Spring and say, well, it's Big Spring's fault for me not doing what I've done. I'll stand and I'll be held accountable before God for what I have done. And that's why that, you know, this morning you may say, well, you're the worst preacher that I've ever heard. That's all right, because I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And I'm going to continue on doing what God has called me to do. And there'll always be somebody that'll listen. But there's a great job that needs to be done here this morning. And I, for one, I'm going to meet that challenge that God has laid upon my heart. And I commit myself, my body, and my work to this church. Why? Because I love God for what he has done for me. And I love the body of this church because you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, if you're here this morning maybe you're struggling. Maybe there's just something that doesn't feel right in your heart and in your life. I ask you this morning to come to kneel at an old-fashioned altar. And all you have to do is step out. And you say, I've been so mean, I've been so evil. Nobody could have been no worse or evil than what I've been. But all you have to do is kneel down and just ask God to forgive you. And he says that he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You're here and you're struggling, come and find peace. And maybe here this morning, God has laid upon your heart that you need to just come and make a commitment to this church, that you want to help build that wall and you want to help and do the work that needs to be done. I don't beg people to come to the altar. I let the Holy Spirit deal with your hearts. But it's up to you. And at this time, we're just going to pray. Father, as we come to you, as humble as we know how, I know today that it's not been a great message. Maybe I didn't use maybe great words, but it's still the Word of God. And Lord, there's people here this morning that needs to make a commitment. They need to come and make a commitment to you to serve this church better, or maybe they're struggling with some problem in their life. Lord, help us to realize that you're the one that can take care of these problems. Lord, here this morning, we just commend this service to you. And Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit will just move in a mighty way here this morning. And Lord, we pray that not our will, but thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's